We're back, better than ever, and better than ever because we got no Gus this week. So you know it's going to be a great show. Yeah, that's how we start the show there. No, our good buddy Gus can't make it today, but it's all right. We still got two out of the three-headed monster that is the Vice City FC podcast. I'm your boy, Larry Fresh, Edwin. Hey, why is my name not showing up with my... Let me see, is that... I don't know why it's not coming in. All right, anyway, it is what it is. Oh, wait.
I see it there. Oh,
there we go. Okay, now it's showing up. All right, I just wanted people to know. I'd like a follow, guys. If you see, if you're watching, give me a follow on Twitter. I am Larry Fresh, and that is at XG La Voz, the one and only Chavi Guerrero. Thanks for hanging out here, and we're back. Like I said, better than ever. Vice City FC, Season 2, Episode 8. Call this one the Escape from LA episode. I mean, the Escape from New York episode here, bro, because, yeah, it was a rough go this week for our boys from Inter Miami, but we'll talk a little Inter Miami. We'll talk a little Orlando. I'll fill in for Gus on what's happening there just to keep the Florida fans here a little happy. And we're also going to talk, I know it's an MLS show, but we're going to talk a little U.S. men's national team after their big game yesterday, their big, another dos a cero. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll wrap up with the Chavi's top 10 list, which I almost thought you really messed up the list this week when I was like making it after you gave it to me. I was like, oh wait a minute, what? And then I'll clarify that later. I totally got confused on a team that I was ready to go be like, dude, you're losing your mind. I thought you were doing some crazy stuff, but I was like, no, that was my bad. But anyway, let's get started. Inter Miami this week, it was a very shorthanded. How many guys were out? How many other regulars besides the, you know, the obvious Messi, but we didn't have Drake Callender. Who else was gone guys, for us this week?
Call-ups was six guys. Callender, we had Gomez, Redondo, Boatwright, Borgelin, and who am I missing? I must be missing somebody. Oh, it'll pop up. It was Boatwright, Borgelin, Gomez, Redondo, Calendar, and there's one more.
Okay.
Well, off the top of my head,
can't recall right now what it is. But the Gomez and what is it? Fetty Round. The fact that we didn't have those two big guys in the midfield, you know, really hurt us there. It showed
the difference that it makes that these two quality young guys, but that eat the pitch. They're all over the pitch. They allow Busquets to be more relaxed, not have to go so many places to defend and cover people's back as much. It allows him to be calmer and just play more with his ball, relaxed, because these guys cover like for four people and all the way those guys run.
But look, I'm not going to be here, you know, blowing smoke up Inter Miami's ass here the whole show either, because it is, you know, a problem when you have that many people out, and the fact that you don't have Messi in there is still, you know, a big liability. But to be fair, we did have Jordi Alba. We had Jordi Alba. We have Luis Suarez. We still had Sergio Busquets, you know.
There's no excuses. They just got their asses handed to them. It happens. Yep.
They got their asses beat pretty bad here.
It's one of those days. It's one of those games.
Yeah, and it was. So, you know, I'm going to lay into him a little bit here because, again, we started shorthanded, but at the end of the day, we got rocked here. Final score was, 4-0?
4-0. You can lay into them a little more than a little because the coach laid into them a lot right off in the press conference.
Good. And deservedly so. But anyway, they lost 4-0 up in New Jersey against Red Bull New York. Big game and also bad weather. I mean, I'm not making excuses, but it was an ugly, rainy game. We should be used to that down here. With the loss, Lewis Morgan, props, former, you know, Inter Miami Heron.
The law of the X, right?
Man, how good does that feel? How good is that guy feeling today, waking up going, man, I scored a hat trick against my old team that has all the big Barcelona guys, even though Messi didn't play. Hey, you know, people are not going to remember that Messi didn't play. They're going to remember, hey, when they look at the stat sheet, this guy had a hat trick against Miami.
And they were quality strikes.
Quality, a lot of quality there. So the loss moves Miami's record to 3 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses now. They sit currently in second place, 1 point behind FC Cincinnati for first in the East right now. So the Red Bulls, you had them on your top 10 last week or the week before. They were
initially before, yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're gonna make an appearance on your top 10 this week here with the big win. But let's, what did you watch in the game here besides the obvious, besides that, like what was your biggest takeaway as to the reason why they got their asses handed to them this week?
Yeah, they looked like really uncomfortable right off the bat. But one thing, yeah, the weather kind of, it's cold, it was rainy, maybe they weren't, but that's not an excuse. You're a professional player. You play anywhere you have to go. You got to perform. They were playing in the same weather and in the pitch, and it was wet, whatever, no excuses. What's the main thing? That it hurt, the pressure, the full pressure on Miami hurt them, are the main players. Before the game, I tweeted out that Miami with Sergio Busquets, Gresso, with Alba, they have enough that those guys should propel the team over New York. That didn't happen, right? And I still stand by that statement, because you're expecting these guys to be a little extra and help this team, you know, when they had enough they had enough talent to play. They just did not perform at all.
Not just players. They have plenty of leadership and experience there, too.
I forgot to mention Suarez. Who was Suarez? You have these four guys that other teams on MLS don't have them, and you're shorthanded with these four guys.
Not a good look for Miami.
Them to go in and perform well, you know, but that's always been a tough venue for Miami. The main thing the coach said, and he was upset, he was upset about the effort, the lack of effort. He said that there wasn't a will to compete in that game, and that if the team is planning on winning big things, of doing great things this season, they can't have games like this. They can't.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, hopefully it's just a blip in the road, or, and it's not an omen of, you know, things that can happen later on in the season.
Yeah. We can, on paper, that team should have performed a lot better, but they looked uninterested. I felt like the fact that Messi was out, like they was used as a crutch. You know, like, all right, hey, you don't have these guys and we have all these holes in there. It was used as a crutch. And I feel like the ones who really were hurt the most by this were the young guys, you know, the guys that were filling in for Gomez, the guys that were filling in for Redondo, the guy who's filling in for Callander, you know, because we don't have a goalie, which that to me, bro, this giving up 4 goals when you still have these guys in front of you, that just makes me very worried about our depth at that position. Because Callander, hey, man, he's fantastic, but his best ability has been his availability. He doesn't miss games. But if something, God forbid, were to happen to the guy, and, you know, we have to replace him, like, I'm not feeling very confident about who I got coming up there.
Well, CJ Dos Santos actually did really, really well during the preseason. Remember that horrible preseason?
Yeah.
Everybody sucked. He was actually one of the few bright spots. So I'm not 100% down on him. I think it's one of those games. There's games, you're La Tanga, so you know about getting scored on a lot. there's games where the goalie really has
give you a point for that.
The goalie doesn't have much to say in the play, right? If you're letting this guy shoot, he's got the angle, you know, he made a good shot, and his strikes were on point. They scored. Is Dos Santos Callander? Obviously not. That's why he's not the starter. But I don't think we're bad in that department. I think it has, you know, something to do with what you were saying earlier, that some of these veterans let the younger kids down a little bit. But I'm going to put a guy that's in between that let me down a little bit. And he's a veteran. Yeah, he's young, which is Campana. This was a perfect opportunity for him to show out, to show up and show, you know, that he is something special. To show not just to, you know, Inter Miami fans, but to the Ecuadorian national team that, hey, you know, I'm here. And he did not do that.
Yeah.
Center, as a matter of fact, he was disappointing.
Yeah, this was classic, classic Compapi game here, where we needed to count on you to come through. And where were you? Not there. You know, like, you got your wish. You were starting up front with Suarez because they both started the game together, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. On paper, you're thinking, okay, this team is locked. And I wrote that. It's like, okay, there's a lot of depth on this team because look at the team that they're putting out there. They're missing six guys. They're missing Messi. And they're putting out a pretty strong team.
That's still a quality team.
It was a strong team, but it was a very not very quality performance.
No, man. And again, at the end of the day, you're going to look at Compapi and you're like, well, he didn't accomplish anything. There was no memorable play. There was nothing, you know, that you can hang your head on and say, well, at least he did this right now, man. The final score is going to bury any progress, any moral victories that you might have had in the game are all gone. That final score is just going to blur that. Gone because of the final score being as dominant as it is. And then again, you have on the other side of the pitch, you have a guy who used to be a Heron going in there and just, you know, giving it to us.
A fan favorite. Yeah, one of the guys that was first to be shipped out because of that bullcrap stuff that went down with Miami, the scandal and
Tweety and all that stuff.
Garbage. And you know, I was thinking that they make me think of the Marlins. You know, the amount of talent that they had and just let it go out and the talent flourishing everywhere else. You know, you have
typical Marlins.
Even Reyes, who didn't do so great here in Miami, played well enough, you know, for the Red Bulls in this game that, you know, he looked better than any of the defenders that we had on our side of the pitch.
Yeah. So again, trash performance from this team. Leads me to worry. It's the beginning of the season. It's early on. If you're going to you can make all the excuses now and you can say all the cliche stuff, which is if you're going to make these mistakes, it's better you make them now than late in the season. But I'm not going to lie. I think these things are very worrisome because they can become a crutch. And if you let it happen too much at the beginning of the season, it becomes a crutch that you depend on. And I felt like, again, if I'm grading the team, all the veterans, F-minus, you know, and then the youngsters and the guys that are filling in the holes, like, I felt like it they didn't have the support they needed. They didn't have the confidence that they could feed off of, you know, like, they're all of a sudden plugged in and they're just, you know, thrown out to the slaughterhouse. So it was a bad game for Miami, but it's a quick turnaround now. We get a week off. We're back home for the next two games. We have NYCFC next, but before I get into what's happening this weekend. Did you hear the story that's coming out of the Red Bulls with Emil Forsberg,
their star player? That's crazy.
How crazy? Right? Yeah. So for those that don't know, I just found out about this today.
Midlife crisis.
So apparently this guy negotiated his deal to come here and play for Red Bulls here. When I say here, I mean here in the States. You know, he's coming from RB Leipzig, where he was at for a long time. And apparently, I'm just, again, allegedly, this is what the story says, is that his wife had no idea that he had agreed to this move and done this move until he actually did the move and didn't tell her. And it's gotten so bad that he hasn't, like, gone home. He's basically, like, abandoned his two AWOL. Kids, I think, or something
ghosted.
Like that.
Her words were ghosted. I don't know. I'm not going to say 100% that I believe that writing there, because it kind of sounded a little iffy with the words.
It's very crazy. Yeah, it's very crazy. Oh, and by writing, you mean that she came out and put a post on social media explaining everything.
And used the word ghosted, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so it's a little weird, but it's a terrible situation if it's true.
Yeah. And the truth is, maybe if that's not the truth, the truth is somewhere in between. And it's still, any which way you look at this is crazy. Which now she's saying he's ghosted the family. He's over here in the United States, you know, carrying the Red Bulls to having a great start on the season, you know, and having a good time. And apparently his wife is like, all right, well, you know what? Peace out after 19 years of marriage. And she's filing for divorce. Very, very crazy soap opera story that I had no idea was brewing behind the scenes until today. I found out about this today. I was like, wow.
Finally, MLS is becoming a real league where you have scandals from the stars and stuff like that.
This is
part of growing up. This is part of growing up. It was going to happen
some proper
at some
proper soccer drama. Yeah, some proper telenovela stuff happening here, which is just what we needed, you know? So that's what's happening with the Red Bulls. But anyway, back to Miami here. It's awkward transition, but let's keep it going. It was with Miami here, they had this massive 5-0 win against Orlando a few weeks ago, and now you have this massive loss. I know these are two extremes, and kind of like I was talking about right now with the Forsberg and what's happening with his family, you know, is his story right or is what she's saying right? The truth is somewhere in between. I want you to give me your best assumption of where this Inter Miami team is. Is it closer to the 5-0 team that won against Orlando a few weeks ago, or is it closer, not saying that they are a 4-0 loss team, you know, but are they kind of closer to that than they are to the other? Which extreme do you think this team is at more likely right now?
They're not as good as 5-0 over one of the teams that was expected to be, you know, a top team in MLS. And they're not as bad as a 4-0 against a team that is not expected to be the best, you know, top teams in MLS. They're somewhere in between. But you have to understand both games are different in regards to the personnel on the pitch, right? You know, against Orlando, Inter Miami was a full strength. Against these guys, they're not, but neither were the Red Bulls. Maybe it shows you that Miami's not as deep as we thought. Sunderland, young kid, good player, but he in the couple of starts he's had, he's having growing pains. You know, he's having growing pains. Yeah. He hasn't showed anything particular or special in those two games. There are reinforcements on the way. There's still, you know, the right back from Boca, who's supposedly coming. We have Rojas, who's still supposed to be an attacking player that's supposed to be coming. Now then you have Negri, who would immediately be an upgrade over Noah at left center back. I mean, he can play that also. And then you have Frey, who would immediately be an upgrade over any of the center backs that we have, including Aviles. Because to me, Aviles, they have him as a top prospect, and they've always said this, but he hasn't shown that on the pitch. He's good.
I've been impressed with him.
Yeah. He's had flashes, but then he has moments where he looks terrible. He kind of reminds me of Damian Lowe, but Damian Lowe was a veteran, is a veteran already, right?
Exactly. He
would be the best player on the pitch. And then next game, he's like doing some crazy stuff. So Aviles has been more consistent. This was the first bad game that he had.
Aviles, and the thing with Aviles, you look at him and he looks like he's 12 too. So that doesn't, you know, you're like,
physically,
he should be in high school.
We need to give that guy some pasta and get his ass on the gym. But, you know.
Yeah, he needs to beef up. But let me ask you. You're talking about guys that are, you know, that are not here right now, but one guy you didn't mention there, and I want to know, how close are we to Benji Kamashi coming back here? And, you know, he feels like that. If anybody had a run and grew and blew up, who had the biggest glow up last season? It was him when Messi got here. Him and Robert Taylor were the two guys that you say, bro, they loved, you know, the fact that Messi were here, and they were the guys that looked like they were like he was part of the crew. You know what I'm saying?
Like they gave him some secret sauce or something, so they got better. Yeah,
man. He kicked the winning PK in that League's Cup game. He showed out. He's another guy who was in high school like a couple of years ago, and now, you know, he was playing alongside Messi and playing great. You know, so how close have you heard anything about his status? Because I feel like if he comes back, out of all the guys that we have guys that might be coming in, like the dude from Boca or this Rojas guy or anybody else, the injured guys. I feel like he's the guy that I'm waiting for, because I feel like he's going to be the guy that
tells you this last game. I just mentioned Lawson Sutherland. If Kamaski's here, Sutherland doesn't see the pitch. You know, he would not be the starter. It would have been Kamaski, and Kamaski has, you know, a lot more experience right now. And it's just a better player. But we gotta see. We gotta check out the sophomore jinx. You know, he came in as a fab freshman, a phenom, right out of nowhere.
Yeah, man.
I've seen a lot of those stories where sometimes it doesn't continue to go rise, right? So we gotta see what he's gonna offer now. I expect him to do well, because he's a good player. He's the all around feel you get from this kid, right? He wants to work hard. He was interviewed last season. He talked very mature. So he's a mature kid. He's focused on his craft, and he's focused on being a better player. So I expect him to come and be strong. But we need to see it now after 2 months. He should be, you know, coming back soon. I would say within the next 2 weeks.
Soon.
He has to be, because he's already past that 2 months, you know, pretty much the 2 month
period. Yeah. That was it, sports hernia surgery that he had? Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Exactly.
So look, man, hey, if we go back to, you know, Leagues Cup and, you know, and the arrival of Messi in the early stages at the end of last season, the three, if you look at our three big prospects, you know, the three young guys, it was Noah Allen, Ruiz, and then there was Cremaschi. But there was
the
one,
homegrown,
and it was Cremaschi. Yeah, and it was Cremaschi who was head and shoulders above the other two. You know, now we look at what Ruiz is doing. He's playing great, and he's been, you know, an incredible piece of
there
this
we go.
Puzzle.
That was like, the other like, guy. You know, that was like the other guy, pieces. Reese. That was the other guy, Reese.
Yeah.
That we forgot about. Okay.
And, you know, so you have those guys there. Out of all of them, Cremaschi was the one that I thought really separated himself and was like, yo, he was destined to be a big deal here. And then the injury, the setback happened. I'm hoping he comes back, and I'm hoping he can find his form quickly, because I feel like, man, I he's a guy that can come in there and compete right away for a starting spot if he's healthy. I think he could be a guy who could compete for a starting spot, and I'm curious to see, because I do feel like Messi had, you know, some rapport with him and in the midfield and really liked and enjoyed playing with him. Right now, obviously, no, because the injury set him back. But
no, even if he was 100%, even if he's 100%, he's behind both Gomez and Redondo. Fetty Round,
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, he's behind Fetty Round and Diego Gomez right now, and especially
in Tata's eyes. I think he has starter stuff, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
He has stuff. Absolutely. So I feel like he can compete, and if these guys get in a skid, hey, drop him down and, you know, put him in. So I think he's definitely going to compete for one of those spots. I'm curious to see how
– He's going
to
play minutes. He's not going to just
– Yeah, exactly. So I want to see him. I want to see what he's got. I want this team. It feels like all year long, going back to preseason, it's just we haven't had a consistent run of form with a consistent run of players. It's always been something. It's like we're driving this. We got this badass, you know, Porsche Ferrari sports car, and we get into first gear, we get into second gear, and then all of a sudden, damn! All right, let's start all over again. All right, ready? We see the flashes of it because we see the performance in this, but then we keep stalling out. You know, whether it's a messy injury here, or, you know, international call ups, or another guy got hurt, the Cremaschi injury, or this guy's out, Facundo out with the.
It all boils down to Messi. Yeah, even though it's terrible to say that, but let's say this last game with the Red Bulls, you know they're up and they're pressing on. If Messi's on the pitch, they're not doing the same thing, because the moment he starts going up and walking around, now you have to pay special attention to this guy, and you can't have all those people pushing up like that. Because you do, you're done.
Yeah.
So it makes huge difference, just his presence on the pitch. Now his quality and everything else that we know he has, you know, puts the team over. That's what people they say, oh, it can't just be Messi. It's not that it's just Messi. It's his all, everything that he brings to the team, to the on the pitch, changes the defensive schemes and strategies from the opposing team. I'm almost 100% sure that Red Bulls will not press exactly the same way, because they're a pressing team. They're going to do their thing. They do it themselves. But I don't think they would have been as brave, you know, and as good at what they did against Miami if Messi was there. There would be more space. You're changing Messi for Campapi, you know. Campapi was
yeah, and football. Again, Campapi is totally on the shit list right now.
He's been a little disappointing. And
he's been a lot of disappointing.
This
been
is a
lot
very,
of
very important year for him. I mean, it's another player where you need to understand, okay, are we invested in him or move on and, you know, try something else?
Yeah, no, again, this is
he's a
episode
DP. He's
eight,
a young DP. He's a young DP.
Yeah, this
he's
is
not just
this
any
is
kid.
Episode. This is episode 8 of our second season here, and I feel like the seven prior episodes, we've talked about how this is so important for Campapi to step up and do it. Like, so it's a theme. We are well aware of it, and we understand that the pressure is unfair. It's totally unfair. I get it, but it comes with a territory of, one, where you're playing at, and two, your skill level and what you bring to the table, you know? And he's a guy who's on paper has all the talent, all the skill, potential, and you're playing
in Miami. All the potential in the world, and we've been over it in any of the leagues in the world. If you're building a prototype player, you're building a guy that's 6'2", you're building a guy that's athletic, building a guy that is lefty and can hit with his right in the air, is lethal, also has good technique for a big guy. This is the type of player that you want, but something's missing.
And that's,
is it the fire, again, the desire, or what's missing?
I don't know, bro. He's got to look deep down inside himself and figure it out, bro. That's not for us. But he's got to find himself here, because if it's a lack of confidence, maybe you got to sit out a few weeks, you know, because we've seen it happen before. We saw with your BFF Higuain, you know, when he was struggling, you know, and he got demoted, and then all of a sudden he found that
confidence again. He got benched. And I don't think he was confident. I think he got pissed. I think these guys are extremely overconfident. I mean, Higuain was always confident, and I think Papi's confident. It's just, I think when that ego with Higuain gave him that extra motivation. And I think this is just, you know, from looking.
Yeah.
Pana needs something extra to motivate him. I'm not sure.
He's got to find that ego. Seems complacent.
Maybe he needs to get benched. Maybe Borgelin needs to get some more playing time.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't get it. Again, at this point, Bill, again, like you said, he's a young DP. Like, you're going to give the guy who you're invested in the most, you're going to give him the most opportunity to get the most out of him. And, you know, you can't give up on him like that. But it's a struggle because it's a balance. Yeah. So he's got to figure it out. He's got to step up. You know, you want to play with Suarez. You got your boy next to you. And again, super unfair, 100% unfair expectations. And it's very unfair to him to all of a sudden. But this is what happens when you're in this position. Your moments, your opportunities are going to be so minute and so small that if you don't jump on it and you don't capitalize on it, it's considered a failure. And right now, it's overall, at the big picture of things for Kanpapi, it's been failure. You know, as much as nice guy, no, nothing against the person, but you got to deliver more. It's unfair, but you got to deliver
more. He hasn't met the expectations that have been set, even though they have been dramatically high, like you say, maybe perhaps unfair for a young player coming in.
Oh, no, it's totally unfairly high. Totally unfair.
I think he's come from other places where the level, like, I mean, England and other teams where he came, you know, to MLS, he should have been dominating from the beginning, honestly. You see other foreign forwards come in and off, they start scoring right off the bat.
Look, it's so unfair, but I'll put it to give you perspective. And for those questioning why I'm saying this, if you ask Lewis Morgan right now if he could switch spots with Kanpapi and play on this team, he would come in here in a heartbeat, and he would do a better job, because that guy knows he's got that dog in him. And I feel like, you know, Kanpapi just doesn't have that dog or hasn't found it. So let's move on. Yeah, he's got to find it. Let's move on from him though. Here, okay. Miami now, like I said, they currently are sitting second place in the East right now. Cincinnati, a point ahead of them, 3-1-2 is their record. Looking at it though, here, comparing it to our friends up north in Orlando, Orlando is currently sitting at 1-1-3. Okay. So the 1-1-3 with Orlando, we got the same amount of draws, and Orlando has one more loss than Miami. You know, we shit a lot on Orlando, but
they're not that far off.
We're not that far off. Again, it's early on in the season, so we don't have a big body of work here, but we're not that far off. So Orlando
They're not dead by any means.
Yeah. And I think Orlando's closer to us than we are to them at the bottom of the table, if that makes sense, as far as like where we could be. I think they definitely can, you know, turn it around. They got their first win of the season this week, 2-0 win at home against Austin. Lodeiro with the nice banger of a goal with his, I think it was a free kick that he banged in there. Good for him. They finally, hopefully they can build off that. They're currently sitting at 13th in the East. We'll see how, you know. But it was their first 3 points of the season, their first actual win in MLS this season. We've talked about the coach, Ojeda, you know, with my white boy voice. Pareja. I was saying the Pareja. His C got a little a little colder, right? Like it cooled off a little bit. Finally, you got him. He got himself the leash extension that Gus likes to mention. You know that he was referring to the last couple of weeks. He got an extension on the leash here. Nice, solid win. Orlando now, let me see here. They're interesting. They're hosting this week at home again against the same Red Bull team that just beat Inter Miami. That could be a nice little comparison game.
That's going to be a telltale game.
Yeah. Yes. We'll see how they do. But I do believe Coach's seat has cooled off just a little bit. For them, I don't know really what the change was in them this week. That's something that, you know, maybe Gus can elaborate a little more on next week as far as like what performance, you know, what changes. I think it's more a credit of the fact that it's just familiarity with the system, you know, more continuity. With more experience comes more continuity, more familiarity. And I think that's what they're benefiting from.
The team starts to click. At some point, they start to click. When you have so many talented players, it's only a matter of time before the talent starts to show and come out. And they need to work together. It's a very talented team. We know that the roster
is very, very talented team. So that's what's going on up in Orlando. We'll check in with Gus next week and see what he says. But now, back to Miami. We're taking on NYCFC. Currently, worse than Orlando. They're in 14th. No draws, one win, four losses. This should be a game. This is a must-win game for Miami, right? Like, we can't lose to NYC. We can't have back-to-back losses, and especially at home, right? Like, not an option, right? Everybody should be back. The question mark is Messi.
Still, yes. I'd say they put him maybe as doubtful, questionable. But I wouldn't want him to be back just so soon. I'd wait a little more.
I think at best he might dress and just be on the bench. And then if it's like late in the second half and they're down or they need something, they might bring him on. But if they're up like 2-0, I feel like he'll just stay on the bench or something. Because they need to get him some reps too, because you know it's like a well-oiled machine. If you don't give it reps, it's gonna back to the Ferrari reference again. We keep stalling out of here. We'll see, but they're playing NYC this week. Like I said, NYC, really bad team this season. But looking ahead, the following Wednesday, so like 8-9 days from now, they'll be playing also at home, hosting Monterrey. That's the big game.
That's the showdown game.
Yeah. So we feel like for sure Messi has to be back for that game, right? Like, we feel like for sure that's it. I'm sure that's the game he's circling.
That's a target.
That's the target game. I guess, if we're in Miami here, if we're management, we'd probably just want to, like, hey, give him as much rest as he needs so he's as close to 100% come Wednesday of that against Monterrey. You don't mind him missing out. But I feel like there is a competitive beast inside Messi that's gonna want to play on Saturday if he can.
He probably will. I would say if he is questionable, maybe 15 minutes.
I don't think he starts. I think maybe he comes in. I hope he doesn't start. I hope and also my honest truth here, I hope he doesn't play and I hope we win. Like, I hope we can just give him, you know, that week off and build off of another win, because New York City, just like we were looking at the Red Bull game this week, this is a beatable team on paper. We should play well. We should have our guys. Calendar will be back. We'll have the midfield back. We're getting the reinforcements that we need. Going up against a lesser team here, we should win this game, and we should have it, you know, happen without Messi there, and it should be a dub.
They have to. If not, then that would give reasons for concern, right, about the team.
Yeah, that would be very, very concerned. Would you be okay with a draw on Saturday against NYC, or is it win or nothing?
Oh man, a draw. I think they have to win, but a draw, if you tell me it's a draw where Inter Miami's winning 1-0 and they're attacking and the ball doesn't go in, and then in minute 94 these guys on a corner headed in and tie the game, and I'll be like, oh shit, but you know what? They should have won that game. This is a game where they need those 3 points. If you're a championship team, if you're one of these, you know, teams that's above the other teams in this league, you need to bounce back immediately after a 4-0 defeat. And you need to show, once again, like immediately you need to show respect, and people need to know, okay, that was a fluke. These guys are back, 3-0. Against NYC, FC.
Yeah. So Actually, looking at the schedule here, Inter Miami has a nice little run here. Their next three games are at home. They got NYCFC. They host Monterrey in CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then the following Saturday after that, April 6th, they're hosting Colorado here. Then they go on the road to Monterrey and at Sporting KC before returning back against Nashville to at the end of the month here. So they got a nice little three-game stretch here. Hopefully staying close to home can reinvigorate it, playing in front of the home fans also, La Familia. That's always, you know, a big boost. But
of course,
I'll tell you what, man, for me, it's win or nothing. I don't care if it's a moral victory draw or like you said, where, you know, late in the game, they get an equalizer, but we were playing good. The ball just wasn't going in. Nah, man, I need to see a statement game from this team. I need, if I'm Tata, I got to go after these guys and say, hey, you shit the bed this week against Red Bulls, and you have one opportunity now to make up for it. Make everybody forget what happened in Jersey and make everybody realize that, hey, this is the team that we're playing. This is the team that you're going to be playing against, and this is how we play. You know, really set the tone, send a message this week, get a solid, easy, convincing victory. Give me a 3-1, 3-0, 2-0, something like that. Even a 1-0 game, I might even be, you know, upset just because of the firepower that we have on this squad and the fact that, you know, we're just so much more talented than most of the teams in this league. You know what I mean? So I want to see Inter Miami do something there. And then next week, next Wednesday, we'll have a show before the CONCACAF Cup, and we'll talk about exactly, you know, any changes or that we might have to the lineup, any injuries that may have happened or may not have happened, whatever the case be. And we'll talk a little bit more about that game next week. But last night, You're my Colombian brother here, bro. You know, we root for the Colombian squad and everything, but I was born here in the States, and I'm a USA guy, bro.
And Colombia's my mom, and USA is my daddy, so I love them both.
There you go. I like that. I'll roll with that, too. But when it comes to USA, man, I hate Greg Berhalter. He's the biggest piece of shit coach there is out there. And
the worst thing is every time he wins something, people start saying, oh, where are his critics at?
Oh, God, it was so annoying. So, look, man, USA won last night, Nations League Cup, another one of these, you know, tournaments that were made to keep things interesting. But the problem that we have right now is that, bro, CONCACAF is pretty shitty right now. There's not a lot of good teams in CONCACAF right now. USA is by far and away the best out of all these on paper, and they're proving
stronger.
It on the pitch.
And getting stronger. Yeah, and they're too strong for this conference from this region.
They're proving it on the pitch too by winning. That's the three-peat of Nations League championships here. Now, on the other side, they took on a Mexico squad, which, look, man, anytime you get to beat like your big rival, I don't care who the coach is, it's going to feel good. I'm going to enjoy it. I love seeing Tyler Adams' golazo last night, especially considering the fact.
What a story, right? Bro, coming back over a year out. And then
he's been out for a long time.
It's one of those things that makes you think, no, that can't be coincidence, man. That has to be something special. Yeah. It was written in the stars for it to happen that way.
For sure. And his last goal for USA was also against Mexico some years back. It had been a few years since he had scored. So, you know, you look at what he did, what he accomplished, to Gio Reyna goal, like coming in off the Pulisic assist, I believe that he got it. Like, you saw all the stars that USA had. They played, in my opinion, their most complete, best game ever. But my concern is it that they play really that well, or is Mexico really that bad? Like, because I also look, man, we know as Dolphins fans here, look, we saw Tom Brady whoop, you know, the NFL for 20 years, and we had to play him twice a season every year. But even though when we were at our worst as Dolphins fans, we still felt like we played up to the Patriots, and we always gave them a hard time. You know, sometimes they whooped our ass, you know what I mean? But I felt like a lot of times we fought hard, and, you know, sometimes we'd squeak out a win here.
I actually think Brady has a losing record against the Dolphins.
The Dolphins have the best record against them in the division, but I don't think it's a losing record against the Dolphins. But anyway, my question is, do you think like, because as bad as Mexico, you know, might be right now on paper, you know, with their team, because it that team, this was the this past World Cup, 2022, that was the first time that Mexico didn't get out of the group stage. And basically, last night's team was more or less the same squad of players. Like, they didn't make any adjustments. Like, the last time, you know, we didn't, I think I saw the stat was that USA, the team that didn't make the World Cup in 2018, the only guy that's still on that team from that era is Pulisic. That's it. So it's a whole new group of players. So they basically said, yo, we didn't qualify. You guys suck. Adios. Let's get some new people in here. We're going to start over again. And it seems like here we are over a year after the last World Cup, and Mexico is like, eh, run it back. They got Memo out there at goalie. Like, bro, like, I know they got good goalies over there. I don't keep up with the Mexican squad as much, but I know they got some talent, and they just, and they're really, they're bad. But again, like I said, I like to think that they would step up their gameplay and, you know, against your rival. But yo, we slapped them up, two goals. USA plays like their most complete game that I've seen in a long time. And then you get another 2-0. Like, you get the sweet scoreline, man. Like, when we were up to nothing, I was like, no, don't give me a third goal. I want the 2-0. I want that. Let's just keep it going. I'm all about it. I liked it. I like what I'm seeing with USA, but again, I don't like the guy who's running it. I don't think he's creative enough. I don't think he's the right guy for USA. But he is the guy at USA and Berhalter right now, unfortunately. So I'm still going to support him. I'm still going to root. But
let's see what he does in Copa America.
He's not. I don't. Exactly. Really? That's what I'm looking for. Like, now. But he's not producing. Again, it's a watered down CONCACAF right now. Mexico.
Whatever, but you got to win. You still got to win.
Bro. Okay. You can win if you're playing against, you know, division. No, I know. I know. But I'm just. But I'm just saying, you can win if you're beating up second division and third division teams, but you're a top flight division team. You're supposed to be beating the big guys. And I feel like against the teams that matter, we have, what, like one goal in the last three games against teams that matter?
And he's kind of lucky, too, because they were just a few minutes away from being out against Jamaica, right? A
depleted Jamaica. Yeah.
They should have lost that game, honestly. And, yep. And what happens? They get in, and then they played an amazing game. So.
Yeah, bro. It's always the same thing. Mexico
is not terrible. That, you know, what was funny though, if you're listening to the reporters and when they're talking to the players, they were actually like,
yeah,
asking the players, hey, you know, what do the owners have to do? What does the federation have to do? You know, because this keeps repeating itself, and it looks like you were going downhill, whatever. And
yeah.
The reporters were saying, yeah, we're the same players. They're saying the same exact thing you were saying. That is, that nothing has changed in regards to the players. The same guys are there. The same people that have lost. The same, nothing has changed. And one of the coaches, La Volpe, you know, he was a former head coach of the Mexican national team. He said, you know, you can't change the players now, because this was supposed to be done when they were friendly games, and it was still the same.
Yeah, squad. Not in the middle of a competition.
And now you can't change anybody. You know, you have to stick with what you have, and that's what they have. And then maybe we have to understand that maybe the Mexican players at this moment are just not that good. They're just not that great.
Look, right now, you can say what you want. Liga MX might be, you know, there's always going to be the comparison between Liga MX and MLS. And
there's a lot more money and a lot more stars there right now.
Yeah, there is over there.
It's because of money difference.
Yeah, now we're on the come up. MLS is rising. Absolutely. But if there's one thing you can't argue right now, is that when it comes to national teams right now, LTree taking the L, losing a lot, not making the progress that they need to make. USA has definitely elevated themselves on the national team scale. And that's with our shitty coach. Imagine if we had a good coach. Like, the separation, it would have been 6-0 yesterday. But I digress. I'll bash on Berhalter when the Copa America comes. But right now, USA national team.
How about if he wins it all? What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll be the first one to fucking kiss his ass and say my bad. I had no clue, you know, what I was talking about, bro. I got no shame. I'll hate on him. But hey, if you pull that off, bro, then you proved all the doubters like myself
wrong.
Yeah, bro. But real quickly here before we go, a couple of things. One, what did you like? I feel like it's gotten so bad for Mexico. Did you see that they had to do the two stoppages at the end of the game because of the chance every time that Turner kicks the ball? What do they say, puto or something like that? Every time that he kicks it or something like that. Yeah. And it's like, bro, that's gonna cost them something. Like, it's one of those things where, like, they're going to keep doing it until something happens. And it's like, you guys got to nip it in the butt right now, man, because it's the CONCACAF. They can't just they can't just keep saying, oh, step hey, one, we're going to stop one, the game.
Like, eight times. Step one.
Ah, bro, and this is like the fifth game in a row. Like, they got to do something now. My other thing, Copa America is coming. You know, now that you see USA, what they're doing, we feel pretty good about them. El Tri, you know, well, they got a lot of shit to change. But this Copa America, man, is loaded. It's got all the teams that we want to see. Nobody that, you know, is being left out that you're like, oh, man, you know, like, no, you're getting all the big hitters. You're getting the Brazil, the Argentina. You're getting USA, you're getting Mexico, you're getting Colombia, you're getting even the other up and coming teams like the Canada, the Perus, the Costa Ricas. You're getting everybody. Like, this is a nicely loaded Vino Tinto with the Venezuelans.
It's going to be a fun tournament. Yeah, it's going to be a very fun tournament.
Very, very fun tournament. And I'm curious to see the last team that wasn't Argentina or Brazil to win the Copa America was. You know,
I know Colombia won in 2001, but
Colombia won in 2001, but no, the last team was Chile. Chile had their run, which is another team. Oh, that's
they won
be in
twice,
this
back to back. Yeah, they won back.
They
to
won
back.
Twice.
They did one and another one that they kind of
exactly. Made. And then Colombia is the only other team not named any of those teams that has won it in this millennium. You know, which was back in 2001 when they won it. So, curious to see if you had to bet right now. Xavi, if you had to make a bet right now, would you say that it's either Argentina would win it because they're the favorite, right? Because, you know, obviously Messi. I think Messi's going to probably play and all the stuff that's happening. If Messi's playing, and even if he's not, because that team is loaded, right? But let's say if he's not, would you bet on Argentina or would you take the field to win the Copa America?
Damn.
Right now, just knowing where we are right
now. I don't think they're going to repeat.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think right now I because of all the teams that are in there and because of the level of competition leading up to it in this Copa America, I feel like it's going to be so good. I'd probably take the field too. But again, I'm never going to doubt Messi. That dude's a beast and everything he's done. So we'll leave it at that. But anyway, got to wrap it up here. We're against the clock here. We're going to wrap up, but I want to thank everybody who's watching. If you're hanging in there, make sure you hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Facebook or Twitter, make sure you hit that follow button. Share, man. Let people know about the show. I want to thank everybody who's hanging out with us tonight. And if you're listening to on the podcast later on, thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing here. This is the Vice City FC podcast. I'm your boy Edwin. That's my boy Xavi. And we'll see you again next week. Have a wonderful rest of your week, guys. And we'll talk to you soon.